Are you ready to get rowdy?
I know something stupid we can do.
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento. Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the Doubletree. Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Joe Show.
Ah, slobber, lobber, big dog on a Tuesday.
Good morning, Sacramento.
Wow, day to score it.
10.
Yes. It is a Tuesday. Tons and tons of Tuesday stuff to get to, including What the Fact?
Woo!
All Food Tuesday edition, so we got that coming up. Plus, we got cash in 50 minutes for Double Pay Workday. Each and every hour at the bottom of the hour, 14 times a day, $1,000 every turn. All you got to do is text it back, the code word that is, to 200-200. We'll pay you. Plus, we've got two chances to qualify for the 2019 Harley-Davidson Fat Bob, courtesy of Rockland Folsom Harley. And we'll do that here at 7 for the first time.
Man, big days these days.
And I know I'm forgetting about something. There has to be something, but it'll come to us. Back up the river turntable. Oh, my goodness. For the 15th to 20th time, Bon Jovi, New Jersey. Here's what you got. Lay Your Hands on Me, Bad Medicine, Born to Be My Baby, Living in Sin, and I'll Be There for You. Today, a more equal matchup. And today, I really don't know what's going to happen. I'm thinking people are going to lean toward Bon Jovi, but I think they're going to really surprise me and gain tons of respect and admiration in doing so.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
Night Ranger.
Oh!
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's autographed, too, yes. Yes, that is my autographed copy of Night Ranger.
Yes, you people do the right thing here.
So, okay, this is what you got. Pretty big songs here. You Can Still Rock in America. And, oh, my God.
Yes, you better say it.
Yeah, hey, pull your britches up. Hopefully you're sitting. Sister Christian.
Do the right thing, people.
Wow. You've also got another song on the side, too. When You Close Your Eyes, which for me, out of all three of the songs, that's one of my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah, I love that song. So you've got You Can Still Rock in America. You've got Sister Christian. And When You Close Your Eyes, three barn burners from Night Ranger.
Now, those are solid songs right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a solid pick.
If you're going to only have three songs on a record, two on one side, one on another, they better be Night Ranger strong.
That's not saying much for the poor guy.
Dana, she's got the Instagram and the Facebook going. What do they want?
They're catching up, but somebody wrote, I left for a whole vacation, and that record is still here.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know the exact day. That's why it's between 15 and 20.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
With Bon Jovi.
It is.
All right, we got Lay Your Hands on Me twice. Sister Christian, Close Your Eyes. Close Your Eyes.
Oh, whoa. There it is.
Yeah.
It's a good little mellow tune.
We got Sister Christian, Lay Your Hands on Me.
Oh, Bon Jovi Sister getting some votes
Christian,
in.
When You Close Your Eyes, we got two of those. Sister Christian, Night Ranger, Rockin' America, Sister Christian.
Yeah.
Sister C.
Yeah.
Rockin' America, Please Just Play Bon Jovi and Get It Over.
I don't think that's what the River Rockers want.
You can't do it until you select it.
We got Rockin' America, Sister Christian, Bad Medicine.
Yeah. Oh.
What else we got in here? I think it's probably Sister Christian.
Is that what it is?
Well, I love you, each and every one of you.
Sister C all the way.
Yeah, woo-hoo! Sister C. Out of all my years of doing this play at Night Ranger, never once have I ever called him Sister C. Or that song, Sister C. Okay.
I really love this song, and I don't know why.
All right, we're going to play it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And don't mind Cosmo. He's Chinese.
That's so stupid.
All right, Joe, whenever you're ready.
Remember that stuff. All right, on 93.7, The River.
Time for another exciting edition of
What's Your Deal. What's your deal?
Oh, goody goody. On a Tuesday, anything at all you want to discuss, you want to share, you want to say, please. Advice you want it, you need it, 766-9370. Before we get to producer Dana's deal, quickly, I have two deals. The first of which, if you've been following the ongoing saga of Joe's Swamp Pool or Joe's Blue Jay, Joe put up video last night, and you can watch it. Please pay very close attention to the comments and watch the saga unfold. This could be a trilogy and a whole series of video. Yeah, you better laugh, Joe. You better laugh because I'm spreading it on thick. I mean, this could go on and on and on. I mean, Netflix got a call from them last night. Didn't want to tell Joe this. Thinking about streaming this.
Shut up.
Netflix called me and said, we really want to stream Joe's Green Pool and the Blue Jay. And they said, do you have any ideas for titles? And I said, you got it right there. Joe's Green Pool and the Blue Jay.
Well, I'm learning now that it's called a Scrub Jay. We call them Scrub Jays here. I didn't know that. I thought it was called a Blue Jay.
Is it the same thing?
I've never heard the word Scrub Jay in all my life until these scrubs started printing it on Facebook.
Well, I've never seen it either. I mean, I don't know. I looked it up in a book. It said Blue Jay next to it.
Yeah. I mean, people here, they always say, no, those are blue birds. People in California call what is in your garage a Blue Jay. Whether it is or not, it's blue, and it's the only type of blue bird we have here. So that's a scrub. Shut up. And here's the thing. Netflix doesn't care what it is. They just want to capture all this riveting footage and this video. So I inked a deal with them last night.
Good.
And what they want from you is they want one more episode.
All right.
And that's what they've committed to.
Okay.
So what they want is a two-show series. And what they're going to do is put it on Netflix. And streaming will start, I guess, Monday.
Dana said they wanted an update of what was going on with the Blue Jay and the pool. So
they're very, very concerned about you,
Dana,
Joe. I think
lots
is what
of
it
nice
is.
Stuff to both of us. You know, really does.
I appreciate that from her.
You're welcome.
While you're there, oddly enough, did not get an offer from Netflix on this, and this is the far better content piece. Dana, I mean, bucking like a Bronco.
Oh, come on. Let's just let that die.
You know that's not going to happen with him.
Well over 4,000 views yesterday. If you did not see the bet Dana made good on, we bet on the Kentucky Derby. Her horse lost. So the deal was the loser had to give the two winners horsey back rides on all fours. So if you get bored today, watch it.
Please do not watch it.
Yes. Facebook, Dog and Joe Show page. Something tells me. And we've heard little bits and pieces over the year or so that we've done the show with Dana. There's a little fetishism and kink that
what
goes on
about?
In the bedroom with Captain Kenny and her.
Where's this related?
From?
All I'm saying is Dana on all fours with us riding her back, she looked far too natural.
Oh my goodness.
You're going to do that.
Yeah. Something tells
me. My parents listen to this.
I know they do. Something tells me that Captain Kenny gets rid of the captain hat every now and again and puts on a cowboy hat.
Oh my goodness. Captain a horse? I don't think so. No.
I hate you. Howdy, partner. This sailor's coming ashore.
You're the worst. God.
Howdy, partner. This sailor's been at sea for three long weeks. Where can I get a cold sarsaparilla?
Aren't you a boat captain?
I'm kind of both.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So watch the video. It's on Facebook. That's waiting for you. It's pretty good. Dana paid off on the bet.
I'm never betting again.
These ridiculous bets that we come up with.
I'm just going to tell you this. Memorial Day weekend. Little racer called Indy 500.
I'm not betting
Who
on
wants
NASCAR.
Action?
No.
Oh, I'll take that.
Joe always takes action.
Yeah. Joe's
immune
to it.
I learned my lesson. Yeah. I'm not dumb like Joe.
I'll do it.
You're not going to
you,
bet?
Joe. No.
Okay.
Dana, no.
What's up?
Hey, she had a hard. That was a hard loss, right
well,
there.
Well, it depends on what the I guess the
wager is.
The wager is. But yeah. I'm going to say no. Yeah.
A lot of times I like to go ahead and say yes before the wager because once I find out what it is,
then you
would never have said
out.
Yes. So check all that stuff out. And Dana quickly has a deal. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Before we get to the deal, Dana is off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because she's taking time off to go camping.
Yes. I was supposed to go to Ocean Cove up north. To go camping with my family.
Uh-huh.
And the plans for said camping trip have now fallen through.
Oh.
So there is no more camping.
So you're not going camping?
I'm not going camping.
Why?
Oh, what a bummer.
So my cousin who put this whole thing together, they had to come back early because of her sister. So it's done. It's over with. Nobody's going.
What do you mean come back early?
Well, long story short, her sister had to come back to SAC. I'm assuming she has to work today is what it is. So they came back yesterday.
So what? They didn't tell you this? You didn't?
No.
You just found out?
And
what?
The dates I was told were this Monday, yesterday the 6th, through the 10th Friday.
Okay, they were going to go up early, and then you were going to join tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
But
I
guess, went last Thursday, and they've been there since last Thursday, and they came back yesterday.
And so they're done.
They're done.
Oh, what a bump. Who does that? Who schedules a camping trip and then camps without you?
Well, who plans this way? I mean, were you camping with... You said these are relatives of yours?
Yeah, my cousins.
And are they animals?
No.
Are they cavemen? Are they native people?
No, but this side of my family, very bad at planning and also late to everything.
Well, so. Man, this time it sounds like they were early.
Yeah, a little early.
Man, that sucks. Yeah, you're going to miss out on camping?
I'm a little bummed because ocean camping is amazing, and I love it. And I was really, really excited to take Max to his first camping trip, and now there is no camping trip. So,
All I can say to your deal is one, Dana, I'm really sorry, but...
Are you?
I couldn't imagine. That, to me, your camping trip is what I envision when I think of camping. You set it all up, you plan it all out, and then they all cancel and say we're not going, so you don't have to go camping. That to me is a perfect camping trip.
You hate camping.
He would love that.
And have you only mountain camped? Have you ever ocean camped? Because it's a completely different experience.
Let me just ask you this, because when I was in Portland for a long time, people there used to snow camp. And,
oh, snow camping sounds awful.
Yeah, and there's mountain camping.
Yeah.
There's jungle camping.
Where do you jungle camp
in the
United States?
Well, we don't live near jungles, but I'm just saying that, you know, people will camp mountain camping. There's all kinds of camping. But to answer your question, Dana, is ocean camping like other camping where you camp?
Yes, but it's on the ocean.
Oh, okay. It sucks.
But do you like the ocean? Because the ocean's amazing.
You know what he doesn't like, Dana? Having to sleep outdoors or in a tent or doing any of the camping outside stuff.
No, it's awful. I just want you to picture this. Right now, the 7th day of May. 2019.
Yeah.
2019. Okay. Why in God's green earth would we want to go back outside? People
because
used to camp because they had to. It was necessity. Now we have structures and shelter and indoor plumbing.
Yeah, the structure is called a tent.
Yeah.
That's not a structure.
Yes,
that's called
a tent.
It's not a structure.
Back then they slept with canvas poles or canvas over two poles. Now we got tents with lights on them.
Oh, mine is cool. It's big. You can hook it up and make it into like this whole like camping like... You can put a bunch of tents in a circle and then have like a living room in the center. It's awesome.
You got that one?
Yeah.
That thing is bitching. It's damn near like a castle.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a
tent
castle.
It's tall. I mean, like, I'm obviously not a tall person, but like, I mean, I can stand in it and there's room above my head. It's awesome.
You can ride a motorcycle into it.
Yeah.
So, do you know what they call tents that I sleep in?
What?
Hotels.
You hate hotels, too.
No, I love hotels.
No, it's the motel.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, I like a good motel, but yeah.
That sucks, man. Now, for me, that is destroying, because I would really... going camping is fun.
Well, you love it.
And for me, it's really hard to nail down plans with my cousins. There's like seven of them. And anytime we can do something with them, we try to. And so it's a little upsetting and disappointing that it is no longer happening because we were looking forward to spending time with them.
Who doesn't communicate this? Do these cousins like you?
Well, yes, they do. I grew up with them.
Okay,
they're
I grew up with lots of people
like
that
me.
Didn't like me, and I didn't like them.
Yeah, but you're you, and she's her.
Yeah, but why?
Everyone likes Dana. No one likes you.
That's right. Thank
why
you,
wouldn't
Joe.
They communicate that with you?
Are they all boys?
No, most of my cousins are guys, but I was communicating with one of the wives because everybody knows to get things done, women have to communicate with women.
Oh, so basically let me translate. The wives were communicating, so what they were going to do is ruin the camping trip.
No.
That's what women do.
No. But the reason I didn't find out till yesterday is when you do go up there, there is very little reception. So I didn't get a text back until they had reception.
Oh, so is that their excuse? We couldn't get reception?
Yeah, they burned you this time, Dana. Well, that's, you know what? That's a family burn.
I'm
used to those. I know what that
it.
Feels like. You just got one.
Your parents just want to burn you all the time,
yeah.
Joe. They're very upset with you.
Well, I know.
But I don't think it was malicious in any way. It's just everything fell through, and it's not going to work out, and it is what it is. I'm upset about it, but I'm not mad at them.
So what now? What are you going to do on the 3 days off?
So...
or five, including the weekend.
Yeah.
I know. So
that sounds
exciting.
Nice. God, that sounds great.
Well, I have plans for Sunday because it's Mother's Day already, but we're definitely going to be home Sunday.
And we're going to try to get to a couple of or at least one Mother's Day thing today because you're the only mother on the show, even though Mommy over there
Joe's
goes by.
Mommy.
Yeah. You're the only mother on the show.
Thank
so
you.
I want to do a little Mother's Day something before we go because I forgot that Mother's Day was on Sunday and you're going to be gone. So,
So I have plans Sunday, but I think what we're going to do, I have three things that I'm kind of milling over.
Uh-huh.
I either want to go to San Francisco and spend the day in the Bay.
Yeah.
Or go to Napa and wine taste.
Uh-huh. Are you going to take the kids on this outing?
Yeah, I've taken them to Napa before. Well, Olivia, but not Max, obviously.
Oh, oh my God. Yeah, for anyone planning to go to Napa this weekend, cancel. Dana not taking one child, but two. Nothing more than what people love is having parents bring their kids to a winery.
Whatever. I don't give a crap.
Oh, I would love to see that. You to walk in with Max on your back or in the front with that little baby harness and then you're just sipping wine.
Actually, I did that at a winery down in Lodi out by your house.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were all worried that I was going to fall down some stairs and I was like, I'm not really drinking that much. I'm just tasting.
And it doesn't really matter because I just kind of fall a lot.
That was a wet floor.
And what's
the
other
option
thing?
Is possibly going to Monterey and the aquarium.
Oh, Monterey Bay.
Yeah, which I think is probably the most kid-friendly of the activities.
And funnest.
And coincidentally, my mom has Thursday, Friday off, so I'm trying to make it work out that we take her somewhere with us.
So what day are you going to go, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, I think is what it is.
So no real reason to be gone tomorrow.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. I already have vacation and I have people covering me. So, I am taking Wednesday off.
No, so we'll see Dana tomorrow. No. Just run Wednesday.
Nope. Already approved.
Well, I know you're bummed out about not camping on the beach, but my God, what a blessing.
That sucks.
No.
What a blessing.
Now I have to plan my own camping trip is what it is.
Well, I hate that when you got a little vacation type thing planned, and especially when it's a camping trip. And I mean,
which
all the other
stuff takes a lot of coordination.
Fun, but, man,
Get
it all worked up, then it falls through.
Yeah.
Well, terrible.
All right, Dana, that's a bummer. But Dana will be back on Monday. She'll be out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Coming up 20 minutes, we got cash for you. Then at 7 o'clock, caller 19 for the 2019 Fat Bob, Harley Davidson. Here's Tom Petty. Classic rock redefined. There goes Plush STP on a Tuesday. 6 minutes away, we'll give you cash. And let's do a little bit of news right now. There we go. Now it's official. Yesterday, if you haven't heard, Prince Harry could barely contain himself. Facing a news camera to announce his son's birth, he rubbed his hands together, bounced on balls on his feet, and seemed to be unable to stop himself grinning ear to ear. And he said, it's been the most amazing experience I can ever possibly imagine. As he stood in front of the stables at Windsor Castle, where two black horses nodded behind him.
Oh, my Lord.
He walked out and he said, this is amazing. I can't believe that women go through this. He was, honestly, I saw the footage and he was over the moon, as he said. You could tell the guy was excited. And they haven't come up with a name yet. And they said what they're going to do is they're going to do one photo op. And you're going to see the baby one time. And they'll present the name. And then that's it. And they're not going to, you know, parade the baby around. And they want to remain, not they remain, but the baby remain anonymous for right now. And respect the privacy. And then they'll give him a name. And as we talked about yesterday, this son, who we have yet to know the name of, he will be seventh in line.
Wow.
For the throne.
That's just incredible to me how that all works. I mean, it blows my mind. And the fact that the dad just now took over for the grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's almost like William is never going to get to be king ever.
No, and his children certainly not. Yeah, and I mean, better than Harry, though. Harry, never, ever, unless he kills the king.
unless five people die,
yes.
Since his boys are the sixth.
Yeah, five people have to die for Prince Harry to be a prince.
That's insane.
Or become king, I guess.
Wow.
The Pure Leaf Tea Company wants every baby that was born yesterday to feel like royalty. In addition to getting a share of birthday news from Sussex, the tea company latched on and announced that it'll award 10 families whose babies are born yesterday with a private portrait session with the award-winning photographer Yaron Lechem, borrowing from English tradition of official portraits that are taken after royal birth. Plus, they'll give them $10,000 in cash that they can put toward the newborn's education.
Wow.
Pure leaf tea. I mean, really? How many people are going to do that? Who the hell is Yaron Lechem?
Well, he's a premier photographer for yeah. the royal babies over there.
I mean, wow.
He's photographed, I guess, how many now? Four? Because William's got three.
Yeah, yeah.
And Harry's got one, so he's a premier baby photographer of four children.
Yeah, how long have you been doing this? 3 years. The world-renowned royal photographer with... three babies under his belt. Yeah. The most sought after. How stupid. That's what happens when you watch too much Monty freaking Python. Let's come back to America now.
You always blame it on Monty Python.
Everything wrong with the world is Monty Python. Even this. The XFL will broadcast. XFL will broadcast half their games on ABC and Fox, the league announced yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Spring Football League hopes to do a better job than its predecessor, the Alliance of American Football, which shut down its operations last month, just like all the other offshoot football organizations have.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're thrilled to partner with ESPN and Fox, and they're going to work out this TV deal, and half the season broadcast on ABC and Fox. And what that tells me is not half goes on ABC and the other half Fox. To me, it makes it sound like they're only going to show you half the season. So a quarter on ABC and a quarter on Fox.
Is that really how it's going to work?
No, but the way it's printed, it's kind of like that. You're thinking, well, what the hell? We're only going to get to see half of the games? The season's going to start up February 8th. And oh, my goodness. What a perfect time. When football dies out, the real football, they think they can sneak in and give people more of what they wanted.
Now, be honest. If there are ex-NFL players playing this, which I think there is in the XFL,
well,
I would imagine.
You're not going to have NFL players in the XFL.
No, but you would have ex, and you would also have the ones, the college kids that didn't make it into the NFL.
Sure.
So yeah, you're still going to have really talented people.
Talent, yeah.
You know, I'll watch this after football's over.
God, no. The only thing you do when football's over is pray that baseball gets here sooner. You have to sit through February.
No, you don't.
February and March hoping for baseball to start up, but I guess that's what they're hoping, is they can latch on and give people that love football more football throughout that interim.
Do you remember back, and I don't even know how many years ago it was, but they were going to start the other league, the Alliance League or whatever that was, and Sacramento had a team. Do you remember?
Yeah, we were playing football over at Sac State for a while.
Yeah, it was really cool, and I was hoping that might take off.
And again, just like that basketball league that Ice Cube tried to start up, and the CFL, and the Lingerie Football League. You want me to get behind something. That Lingerie Football League, I thought that was going to blow up and take off. It never really did, but it's still in existence. But... it doesn't get any coverage and no one really cares. All this offshoot stuff, even if it's chicks in lingerie, no one watches it. It just does not blossom.
Well, remember, it started off as the girls in lingerie, as you say.
Yeah.
But then they started making them wear little half-cut jerseys.
Bikinis. And yeah. So even the Lingerie Football League was ruined. more good sporting news, or I guess bad, depending on how you look at it. If you're a fan of Aaron Rodgers, it's good. Manica Patrick put out a tweet or an Instagram post the other day, and it said this: my sister Brooke and I sat down for a chat, and it was really good. We covered a lot of topics, especially pertaining to kids, and I got some good advice. Clarification note, though, many hours after this post, she said, I'm not expecting. See, when this Instagram post first went up, lots of people thought Aaron Rodgers and her were going to have a baby.
Sure, yeah.
Because of the way she wrote this. And then she said, no. I need to proofread what I put on Instagram better next time. We are not pregnant. I'm not having a kid. I did not mean to make people think I was pregnant. So all I can say is, whoo! Oh, my God.
Can you imagine what Manica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers would create? Think about that.
A little boy. Yes. A little bearded. Oh, I'm sorry. A little bearded girl.
A
yes.
very talented, tiny person is what I was thinking.
Two words for Aaron Rodgers. Trojan condoms. Please.
Why do you think she's ugly?
Dana, I wish she was in here yesterday. I think she put this up on Facebook. Everybody on social and the internet going crazy about Sunday night's airing of Game of Thrones, because in one chunk of the show, they showed a Starbucks cup
yeah.
on the table.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when does Game of Thrones date back to? The 1500s?
Oh, 1416? Gosh, I would say probably around that time. I mean, medieval, we'll say that.
Yeah, lots of people that are unaware, they might not know this, Starbucks did not have locations on every corner back in them their days, and the Starbucks cup accidentally left there by one of the directors or stagehands, and people were watching it, and this is how intently they watch this crap. They're looking at the map on the table, and they're looking at all the props, and people pause it, and they look, and they're like, oh my God, that's a Starbucks cup. And it was. Someone left it sitting there, and in a show they claim pays very specific attention to every single little tiny minute detail. They missed that one. It was a pretty big screw up, and so people called them on it.
And that's a continuity guy that would make sure that each shot looks the same. Yeah. But I want you to think on a production like that.
Oh, yeah, it's tough.
How hard that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the wardrobe, and I mean, that yeah. would be tough,
all
man.
The props. Yeah. And then you got some guy who's been there 16 hours. He just wants to stay awake and finish out another 5 or 6 hours. He's drinking coffee. He sets it down. Let's roll.
He's probably one of your best production guys because yeah. he does have a little coffee in him. And then yeah. that's how it happens. And it's that quick, too.
We'll give you cash. We'll come back. A couple more news pieces to get to. Text it back to 200-200 if you want the double pay workday cash.
6 o'clock code word is dog, D-O-G to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, your 6 o'clock code word is dog, D-O-G, and text that back to 200-200. Good luck.
Mormons making wedding rule changes at the church, and what they want to do is be more inclusive. This out of Salt Lake City. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is changing wedding rules in hopes of preventing family members who aren't church members from feeling excluded. They said on Monday that couples who get married in civil ceremonies will no longer have to wait 1 year to do a temple wedding ceremony that only members in good standing can attend. So they want to change that. And I saw the headline, Mormons making wedding rule changes to be more inclusive. I thought that meant they were going to allow more wives to marry at once.
Did you really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought it meant.
Yeah, because you can't go in there. That great big temple.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake City, which looks beautiful and cool, and I always wanted to check it out, but you're not allowed to go in there if you're not Mormon.
Well, thank God I'm not Mormon.
Wow. I just wanted to see what it looked like in there.
If that's what it means, that you have to be Mormon to go in there, I'll never be Mormon. Yesterday we talked a lot about this, Kentucky Derby. Appeal that was filed for maximum security. The owners, they told you, or we told you, they wanted the protest. Well, he took it to the Kentucky Derby Commission, and it was denied.
Wow.
They told him, nope, you got nothing to stand on. The ruling will not change. And like we told you yesterday, they can't go back on what they ruled because of all the tickets that were sold and all the bets. They have to stay firm in this decision, even though it's the wrong decision. And so now what the owner of maximum security says, and his attorney says, is now we're going to sue.
Well, what good's that going to do?
Well, he wants his win. And if only anything that this guy gets out of this, he wants to salvage something of it. Because the good horse people out there, if in fact they want to breed maximum security, there's going to be a want for his straw and for his breeding opportunity. That's not going to change. Win or lose, people know who won and how he ran. And his genetics, and they know all that stuff. But he wants the asterisks, or he wants the win and the victory, so this horse gets credit, you know, going down as a Kentucky Derby winner.
Sure, because it's worth more money that way, I'm guessing, correct?
Or? Well, yeah. I mean, he wants the headline. Like I say, people are going to want the horse's DNA, and they're going to want to visit the horse, and he's going to have a decent career, and he'll be able to go to, you know, races in Saudi Arabia and England and all that. He'll be a draw. But this guy wants the legitimate title.
He wants his accolade.
He earned it. And again, I've watched the video, I don't know, 20 times now, and it's just absolutely ridiculous out of 145 years that this has happened. But the Derby said, no, we're not going to bend. We cannot go backward. the horse is not the winner. So he's going to lawyer up and he's going to take him to court.
Well, what good does it do if they win? If this guy wins the court case, if they can't give back the money because, you know, I mean, all the tickets, I mean, that's a viable excuse, kind of.
That's the main reason why they can't flip-flop on this decision is because of all the betting and everything that happens.
There's so much cash involved with it all.
Yeah, it'd be a bigger mess. And then people said, well, hey, you disqualified him and I got my money back and now you're saying he won. So that's why they can't do it now. But this guy, he's going to sue, and I guess he just wants the title. And one of the things he was fighting for is he said, we had 20 horses on the track. He goes, that's too many. If the Derby doesn't want to have interference or slight collisions or hoof-to-hoof contact, then what they have to do is limit the amount of horses that race. But the Derby or Churchill Downs doesn't want to do that because they want to make more money. And so what I did is I'm like, okay, well, how many horses were in last year?
Yeah.
How many horses were in Justify? How many horses were at the American Pharoah? 20.
What?
Yeah. I don't know about American Pharoah back in 2015, but with Justify, there were 20 horses. And last year, there were 20 horses because I started scratching my head. I'm like, well, what do they run? Are they doing 15, 17? And I went back and I'm like, well, last year they had 20 because I thought this guy had a leg to stand on. I'm like, well, that's a good point. It was overcrowded. But as it turns out, there have been other races with 20 horses. So
is the owner just crazy? Is he an a-hole? I mean, what's the deal here?
I keep going back to, I think, people within the Derby and the horse community, something about him or the family. Something's up to me. Is where I stand, because I just can't see the Derby stripping the horse and DQing him after 145 years when I know worse stuff has happened. So
and
there's something underlined.
Horse racing isn't our biggest sport. It's like a very prestigious type thing. It's kind of like golf or whatever. Like the people that would be involved with it are very, you know, monetary and money making and what have you.
Very monetary.
Don't you think so? I mean, you know what I mean by that?
It's an elite group of people that have money that do this and that follow this. And then three times a year, people that watch TV or that watch it casually get excited about it. But this is all for them.
That's what I'm thinking. So when this happens, he did something in the inner circle. He wronged someone somewhere.
Something. I think it's a little bit crooked. Speaking of sports, other sports stuff, Tiger Woods yesterday presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Wow. Awesome. He went to the White House, huh?
Yes, he did. And it would have been awesome if Donald Trump could have placed the award or the ribbon around his neck with dignity and honor and just a little bit of couth. Donald Trump puts this award, this medal on him, and the ribbon, the band that goes around your neck, it was all twisted. Donald Trump puts it on his neck and it's all curled up and it doesn't even look prestigious. It doesn't look dignified. It just lost all, I don't know, what would you call it? All regalness with it. When he put it on, it was all twisted on one side. I'm like, Donald Trump, straighten out the damn necklace. And he didn't. And Tiger's there. Tiger's not looking down because the president, he's like, okay, you're the president. You're putting it on me. So Tiger starts smiling. Donald Trump squeezing his shoulders and saying, you know, probably dirty jokes or whatever. Hey, attaboy. And he smiles for the camera, and the band's all curled up on one side. I'm like, you dope. Fix the freaking necklace.
Of course. Of course. That would be how his medal gets hung.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then right after he gets the medal and he gets the honor, they're back on TV talking about Elon and the blown out windows on the Escalade and all.
Oh, man.
So it's just, it's stupid. But good for Tiger. Good for everybody yesterday in the world of golf. And here to Sacramento now, news you don't want. Average U.S. price of regular gasoline jumped 5 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks to $2.97. Again, national average. Drivers here in Northern California paying at least $1 more. And according to Gas Buddy, prices in Sacramento have risen to an average, and I know you know, to $4.01 or more per gallon.
Yeah.
And you will see it climb about 18 cents in the next 2 weeks. And they're saying that, oh my God, $5 gas, not diesel, but gasoline, is probably a coming. Yeah.
Is that the most I forget how high it got the last time it started going up really high.
I paid 5.25, 5.15 going back to 2008, 2009.
Yeah, that would have been it.
For diesel. And again, that was diesel. I don't think that I've ever seen $5 regular unleaded.
Okay.
In my life, at least that I can remember, but that's where they're saying that it's going to head.
I can't recall paying that.
Yeah, it's high. But again, I want you to look down at your feet. I want you to look down at your shoes. How expensive is it going out and buying a new pair of Nikes or Adidas every 2 weeks? Because that's what you're going to have to do if you're walking. No thanks.
Oh, boy.
No thanks. I'll take the car.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same.
Okay. Yeah, we will play the Led Zeppelin. We'll play the Led Zeppelin. Then we got to do a commercial break. And at 7 o'clock, caller 19 for that 2000 Fat Bob Harley Davidson. Right there, reason enough, even more so.
Dude, tell me about it.
To win that damn thing, you'll save some gas money. 93.7, The River, that goes Nirvana, All Apologies, some classic rock, redefined on the river. Coming up in 3 minutes, we'll get you qualified for the 2019 Fat Bob Harley Davidson. We'll tell you when to call, and we'll get you qualified with the T-shirt. And we're also going to get you that $50 gift card for Stone's Gambling Hall, the restaurant, Sammy's, that's inside. And we'll do that here in 3 minutes. Quickly, we got to talk about this dude, though. Old James Holzhauer. He's the guy that swept the nation, took over Jeopardy, 22nd win. And that happened on Friday. And a lot of people tuned in last night. They're like, oh, my God, where's our hero, James Holzhauer? Well, he's going to be off for 2 weeks. Because they're going to have a teacher's tournament for the next 2 weeks on Jeopardy. So what they're going to do is sideline him and let the teachers go at it. And then after the teacher tournament, then James Holzhauer, he returns to the show and picks up on game 23.
Oh, man.
They're interrupting it.
Oh, that sucks, yeah. I think. Oh, boy. Now, what was the other guy he challenged up against?
That was Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings.
Yes. Ken Jennings, 2.5 million, 74 consecutive games.
So no break on Ken Jennings ever.
No. Ken Jennings, he hit his stride, home stretch. He just kept running and running and running.
Oh.
And this is stupid because not only does it give time for James Holzhauer to brush up, he could get smarter. He could, you know, go back to the books, watch reruns of Jeopardy. It could increase his chances, which kind of screws Ken Jennings because he had to do it consecutive. But it also could throw James Holzhauer out of contention because it's throwing off his mojo.
Oh.
It's like he's sprinting right now. He's got his jig on. He's got it figured out. It could screw him up. Like, you know, when there's a rain delay or when something happens, you know, they got to do...
You lose your lucky socks.
Yeah,
I mean, just anything like that.
It throws the mojo off. But they're going to do a teacher's tournament for 2 weeks, and then he will return. And it's, I guess, no big deal, but it kind of pisses me off because I wanted to see him keep going and going consecutively. And what about the teacher's tournament? So if you're a really, really smart teacher in the teacher tournament and you start taking off and you win, you know, let's say all 2 weeks, they're not going to have you on. Even though, like, you're the champion, you would be able to go farther.
Yeah.
Now you can't because it's only a 2 week interim.
Well, what, I mean, and I know that these game shows have the special weeks and the special times where they'll do these things, teachers tournament, college kids, you know, older folk, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But doesn't a run like what this guy's doing, doesn't that trump some of these things? I mean, if you've got a winner that's consistently winning each and every night, I mean, doesn't that trump like
what I would. Yeah, because people, now here's the thing. The teachers tournament, you know who cares about that? Teachers.
Well, sure, but you can still have it.
And the reason, just so you know, the reason that Jeopardy does teachers tournaments, do you know why they do this?
Because it's a educational trivia type game?
Because I thought you were going to say because they want to find out who the best teacher is. No. It's because think about all the teachers and all the students and all the parents around all the schools USA. They hope that it will bring in viewership.
Oh.
That's why they want the teachers, because they want the kids to call their grandma, to call the whole town. It's really good for ratings, but not as good as when you have a guy like James Holzhauer that's on a 22 win streak. That's what America wants to see. The only people that care about the teachers are the teachers and the janitor and the principal and the students and a couple parents and some people on the PTA. But everyone is just magnetically sucked to James Holzhauer.
That's immediately what I would kind of think. If you've got this is the second person that we've ever heard doing something like this. I mean, that's kind of a big, and I'm not even a game show watcher, and I know this guy's name.
Yeah, everybody does. And it screws up the mojo, but he'll be back on in 2 weeks, and he'll pick up with game 23. Right now, he's at 1.6 million to catch or beat Ken Jennings. He needs to go past 74 games and needs to win more than 2.5 million. And at 22 games right now and 1.6 million, already far.
Oh.
Far outpacing Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
He should walk away with, if he can get to 74 games. And here's the other thing with this Holzhauer guy. He bets big. And so he's going to make a lot more money. So he's going to go well past three and a half, possibly 4 million if he can get in the neighborhood of the 74 game mark. I mean, hell, he could walk away with maybe 5 to 6, 7 million because the guy bets really, he's smart at Jeopardy, but he's stupid at betting.
They say that he does the high number first or whatever to knock the hard questions out of the way.
Well, and like on daily doubles and all that, when it comes to betting and wagering, I mean, he puts it all in.
Does he?
And that one time about 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, yeah, he won like by $16 or whatever. He almost got taken out, but he wagered so high and he didn't need to do that. He put it all in. He won by like $16.
So he's kind of getting addicted to the betting. And
Yeah. He's going to turn into a degenerate. He's going to hang out at dog tracks and horse track. Oh yeah, he's a loser.
I find it fascinating that they're going to do this. You know, I cannot believe they would pause that in the middle of it to put that on.
No, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. So yeah, he will be back in 2 weeks. If in fact you've been following, right now, what we got to do? Caller 19 766-9370. We'll get you qualified with the Harley and River T-shirt. Also the $50 gift card for Stone's Gambling Hall, the Sammy's Restaurant, lunch or dinner.
Man.
Caller 19 right now, 766-9370. Hopefully, we can put you on that bike, the 2019 Harley-Davidson Fat Bob. We'll get a winner.
All aboard the Fatty Wagon. It's Tuesday on the Doug and Joe Show.
Yeah, Tuesday. So what we're going to do right now, not only is it a Tuesday, but we're going to do What the Fact?
All right.
Facts so amazing, you'll shout What the Fact after you hear them. And today is an all Tuesday food edition, and there's some pretty good stuff on this one. First one, okay? Dana Jo.
Yeah.
What is the most stolen food in the world?
Is it from a grocery store? Or is it fast food?
It's just a food.
Okay.
Just a food.
The most stolen food in the world.
Uh-huh.
Bread.
Oh.
Oh, is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say grapes.
Oh.
Grapes?
Yeah.
Okay, why bread? Why grapes? Just curious.
Grapes are easy because you can just pick them. As you're going through the grocery store.
Like people just kind of pulling them off the vine.
Yeah. They're always just stealing
out of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think bread because in a lot of different countries, it's not in loaves and sliced like it is here. It's kind of like baguettes, and you just see it sticking out in markets walking by, and you can just kind of walk by and get you one.
Is that a baguette in your pants? Are you happy to see me?
Yeah.
Wow, look, we caught this man. He had 75 baguettes shoved down his pants.
Got to be a news story from somewhere.
No, it is not. Baguettes or bread, it is not grapes. The world's most stolen food? Cheese.
What the fact?
Yes.
I knew people love cheese as much as me.
Americans love cheese, Joe.
Yeah, they're not stealing Kraft singles. They're stealing.
It doesn't say that in your What the Fact knowledge.
You don't know what it says. And in fact, it does. No, it's expensive cheeses. There's so many rare cheeses and cheese wheels and blocks. And it's very expensive. And lots of people steal cheese because of its high price.
Mm. Do those cheese wheels and blocks last longer than, you know, like
Kraft singles?
Yeah, like a normal thing of cheese. Because do you have to refrigerate that? Because you always see it just sitting out on a shelf.
Well, no, those cheese wheels, they let them sit in like wood storage and they ferment and they rot and they grab that or get that nice casing around them.
Yeah.
And then if you preserve it and it's humidified and it's cooled and temped right, that cheese will last a long time. And then whenever you want a slice, you just go in there and hunk you off a triangle.
Oh,
and it does
depend
on the type of cheese. Like things like brie will go bad pretty fast.
Yeah.
But then if you get like a hard cheese, it'll last a lot longer.
Yeah. And the thing that I always love, and I love this when it ages, chee.
Oh, do you?
Oh, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Chee-chee.
You are so infantile.
Yes, okay. I love aged chee-chees.
Yes, you do. Oh, <God. laughs> so cute.
True or false? The stickers on fruits and veggies are edible.
False.
That is true.
What the fact?
What the fact?
Yes. All the veggie and fruit stickers that you see, the little where they came from, product of Washington, California.
Yeah, chili.
Yeah, all edible.
What the fact? I wonder why some people don't wash their fruit.
Well, no, just some people eat them and fruit, lots of apples and all this stuff, you know, you eat right through the skin, cucumber, what have you. They know a lot of people aren't going to see it. And it's dumb that they even put stickers on fruit.
Yeah.
But they do, and they are edible. Even though there's a little bit of tackiness on the back and some glue, it is a soluble fiber.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good one.
I think Dana will get this one. It's pretty easy, pretty well known. Let's see how Joe does. Pound cake got its name from its original recipe. Why do they call pound cake pound cake.
I like that you think I know this.
Oh, you don't?
I have a guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, and a pound of something else, but I don't remember what the something else is.
Okay, Joe.
My God, is that right?
Something like that.
Cool. No wonder the thing is so thick and just dense.
Okay. Pound cake.
I was going to say a pound of flour, but I mean, is it a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, and a pound of whatever else? That's a lot of poundage.
I'm surprised Joe didn't say because they call it pound cake because there's 8 ounces of butter, 8 ounces of eggs, 8 ounces of sugar, and 8 ounces of flour. No, it is a pound of each ingredient that makes pound cake.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But like, you're talking about a measurement. It is 8 ounces. I don't know what it, like, you know, like a cup equals out to ounce wise, yeah. You know, it might be very similar.
No, I was kidding though. Yeah, with ounces too, with poundage, yes, yeah. It's different because you have that, but it is a pound of all ingredients to make a pound cake.
So by the time it's done, it's I mean, that's why it's so thick, and I mean, you're putting a lot of stuff in there.
Oh yeah, good pound cake's good though. Mm. Yeah,
you like it?
Oh yeah, pound cake is awesome.
Okay,
I think you just want to say pound cake.
I think he does too, because it's a Van Halen song, but he's being dirty.
I just love my baby's pound cake.
Uh-huh.
Which fruit will bounce just like a rubber ball? One in particular.
Is it a common fruit?
Fairly. Not so much down south here.
Oh,
is your hint?
We don't sell it in our grocery stores.
We do, but not typically raw. You don't see it a lot, but you can.
Not typically raw.
Yeah, just because here down south where we are, they're not as common. Last hint.
No, and I'm thinking what grows up north? They don't make a weed fruit.
A weed fruit.
That's the only thing I can think of that grows up in the northern part here.
Weed fruit.
I'm trying to think of, northern fruit.
Once you hear it, the geography and location will make sense. This fruit, when ripe, bounces just like a rubber ball.
Hmm.
I don't have an accurate guess. I'll say a lemon. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Citrus, Dana? Is a good thing. I want to say, and this is not a common fruit, but I'm just going to say something like lychee or something like that, which I don't know.
And again, people that haven't been up to the Northwest or even farther, you know, north into Washington probably don't know this. Ripe cranberries will bounce like rubber balls.
What the fact?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard that.
And when you get up into the Northwest and like going closer to the story and all that into Washington, cranberry bogs, that's what they call them.
Yeah, they're like
all over.
Huge water things. All the ocean spray stuff, they're like in their little wader shoes.
They look like lilies and they grow like lilies in a bog and they're just floating leaves and they grow cranberries in these little bogs, kind of like rice, but a lot of them grow in natural bodies of standing water.
You see the ocean spray guys on the commercials. Yeah. I just naturally assumed that was in a southern state, or I didn't know we did that up in the northern part of the U.S.
I wished I'd never known either, because that means I went as far north to find cranberries.
So you've seen the fields that you haven't seen them. I've never seen a cranberry
That's
field.
Cool.
That drove over the bridges and all. It's terrible.
Well, that's a good little fact, man. I like to find those in a store and do that with Digger. He'd freak out to see those things bouncing across the floor.
Yeah, and you can see the two bumbling idiots that sell ocean spray. Sometimes they're out there on Wednesdays. An average ear of corn has an even number of rows. How many? How many rows? An average ear of corn has an even number of rows. Usually, how many?
I'm going to say 36.
Okay, Joe?
I'll say 50.
Wow, that's big corn. Average year of corn has an even number of rows, usually 16.
16?
What 16. The fact?
Yeah.
Now, something else I learned over the weekend, because you know me, just a sponge when it comes to knowledge. Want to hear just the most useless stuff you can jam at me. Do you know the silk on corn?
The stuff in between the husk and the corn?
I hate it. It's
all
the hardest
strings,
thing to get off.
All the silk.
What about it?
Okay. On average, how many are there?
Millions.
Oh, my God.
On one ear of corn?
Millions.
100.
No. There are 800.
800?
On average, there are 800 silk strands. Each one of those strands means what?
Is it like the years on a tree?
Like, no, the kernels on the corn.
Yes. Each strand is for every kernel. When it is, what would you call it? Not produced, but when it germinates.
Yeah.
Each silk is that strand from a kernel of corn.
What the
and
fuck?
And then the silk grows out of it.
And then that's why the silk looks like it's coming from in between the corn kernels, because it's actually grown from the base of it, huh?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Cool. Wow, what the fact? That's a good one right
Joe
there.
Joe would know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, the only vegetable he eats.
Let me tell you what, a lot of jobs for young kids back in Indiana was de-shucking corn. You would ride
it. Wouldn't it be just shucking?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to de-shuck, wow.
You're going to put it back on?
Yeah, how would you like that job in Indiana? Joe was the guy they hired to de-shuck the corn. Look at all these kids. They just pulled all the silk and the husk off. Joe, you put it back on.
I just want to say, that job sucks.
Well, yeah.
I mean, bad.
I mean, God, though. What do you do when you're a corn de-shucker? Work all your years to be a shucker?
You shuck up.
Hey, why don't you call Joe, nicknamed Cornhole? Have him de-shuck this bin.
That was not my nickname.
Oh, man.
That was the cool de-shucker.
Yeah, you are one smart forker. See what we did there on a Tuesday?
Yeah,
see?
How you like that?
Dana will like this one because I know Dana likes this. Mm. Most wasabi consumed is not real wasabi, but it is what?
It is horseradish.
Joe.
I wouldn't even have an accurate guess of this. Peppers.
Wow, peppers. Yeah. Peppers are spicy, but no, Dana got it right. Yeah. What they do is they use horseradish and they color it.
Yep.
It is horseradish.
Oh, yeah. What and the fact?
Fresh
sheep.
Fresh wasabi is amazing. It's actually like when they grate it up fresh, it looks like little relish almost, because it's kind of like that consistency. It's really good.
I gave Dan an easy one to let her shine. Now I'm going to give Joe an easy one to let him shine, because that's, we've talked a lot about this.
Probably not going to be a compliment.
We already talked about corn.
Here in America, in the central Appalachian Mountains.
Oh, boy.
There's a tooth decay problem.
Oh, my. That's mean.
That is caused from what?
Mountain Dew.
And it's referred to as what?
The Oh, gosh. What is it?
Don't think it too hard. Don't outdo yourself.
Isn't it Dew Rot?
It's Mountain Dew Mouth.
Mountain Dew Mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, oh,
Mountain
man.
Dew Mouth. And all this is real, what he's telling
you. Yeah, they're Mountain Dew Mouth.
It's real. All these little just inbred hillbilly kids, what their parents do, because their parents did it for them as theirs did for them, they start giving the kids as early as when they're on the mom's teat, breastfeeding and bottling.
Yes, yes.
They give them Mountain Dew.
In their bottles.
In their bottles. And it rots their teeth before they can even start to grow, and it rots the bone. And all these little, like, muck Mountain Dew Mouth kids are all deformed, and it's been going on for a couple of generations, all because of Mountain Dew, and the parents continue to give it to their kids.
Why would you give it to them?
No one knows why it's happening in that little area, but that's it.
It's what they call there in the Appalachians, Dana, a thang. it's a thang.
I want you to think about this. If that keeps going on for generation after, you get about, I don't even know, 50 generations down the line, no more teeth.
Yeah.
They'll stop growing teeth.
That's awful. And like, there's so much caffeine and other crap in that.
Yeah.
That they're giving to I mean, they're going to have stunted growth probably.
Well, would that be your thought, though? I mean,
accelerated growth.
I know you're living in the Appalachian forest and the mountains, and life's got to be a little tough, but why would it be your first thought to give your child a bottle of Mountain Dew?
You already answered your question. Genetics, evolution. Let's just put the two and two together. Maybe what they're working on is growing toothless children.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it is.
They're skipping a step.
It takes us 40-some years to lose these.
Yeah, it is. It's inbred. Man. It is twisted, but they've done it for generations now. And now that they've even done news stories on it, and they send news crews over there, they teach it in school. They warn the parents. It's the way granddad did it. It's the way they're going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just to see the news piece, Dana, for anyone out there, Google it, Mountain Dew Mouth. It is awful.
It's unbelievable. It'll blow your mind.
We got to do cash, then we'll come back for some more. Tuesday, what the facts?
All right, your 7 o'clock code word is job. J-O-B to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, your 7 o'clock code word is job. J-O-B, and you got to text that, excuse me, to 200-200. Good luck.
All right, some more. What the fact? Tuesday related. Let's see here. Oh, okay, this one. Store-bought 100% real orange juice is what? Store-bought 100% real orange juice is what?
Okay. I don't know how, like how to answer that. It's like fake is dangerous.
You fill in the blank. Store-bought 100% real, quote-unquote real orange juice is what?
Genetically modified?
Not a bad guess. Dana?
I didn't hear the question. I was on the phone.
Store-bought 100% real orange juice mm-hmm. is what?
I want to say it's like mixed with something.
Okay. Joe said GMO, as you said, mixed with something. Store-bought 100% real orange juice is 100% artificially flavored.
Oh, what the fact.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's just, they've always
And you're not talking about Sunny D.
No. We're talking about
this is like the pulp, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're going to go in and buy you a Minute Maid or a Simply or a Florida's Natural or whatever the hell. A lot of those are better than others now just because of all the scrutiny, but they're packed with tons and tons of sugar. And even though it's real orange juice, it'll come from concentrate. And if you look at the ingredients, there are additives in it.
Mm.
What and the yeah. fact?
It's been a big scam within the orange growing and juice community for years.
It's no wonder you can't get oranges from a tree if you put them in your juicer to taste like pulped orange juice.
Yeah, it's always better out of the bottle at the store.
That's weird. I wonder.
Which food back in the day was used as currency? Which food?
I know this.
I bet Joe does.
I do know this.
Which food, Dana, back in the day, and I'm saying not like in the 60s, we're going way back.
Like tea party days?
Like Egyptian.
Yeah, let's go back that far.
Okay.
This food was once used as currency.
Oh, man, this is hard, though. I'm trying to think of what they would have used as currency. Maybe meat? I'm just going to say meat.
God, that's awesome. Yeah, I would give a lot, you know, or get a lot with a big slab of meat.
And I bet you meat was used as a part of it, but you're thinking of wheat and barley, right? That you could store the grain.
Is that what you think it is?
Yep.
You'd both be wrong.
Oh.
Yes. Chocolate was once used as a form of currency.
Yeah, what chocolate. The fact?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What the fact? That chocolate. Is awesome. I didn't even know they had that back then.
Yum.
Let's see here. Okay. Radishes, which I know Joe probably hates. Dana, you like radish?
Yes, I do.
It is a member of what family? The same family.
It's a like the root family, like beets?
Okay, Dana says beets. Joe?
Onion?
Onion.
Ooh, good guess, Joe.
Radishes are members of the same family known as cabbages.
What the fact? I'm glad I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, what the fact?
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat either one of them.
Let me see here.
Cabbage is good for you, Joe. It's crunchy lettuce.
I know.
We'll do one more. One more. What is sold 75 times every second? What is sold 75 times every second of every day? I have to ask somewhat vaguely because of what this is, but what is sold 75 times every second of every day?
Bacon.
Good guess.
I want it to be bacon.
Oh, God. Medicine?
Well, I guess you could eat medicine, but not typically known as food. I mean, I know that you take Advil like food.
I do.
You eat more Advil than you do anything.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't even really have a good guess on this one. I don't even know. Fruit.
Okay. McDonald's sells 75 hamburgers every second of every day.
Wow. What the fact?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's Def Leppard. Rocket. Yeah. There goes Def Leppard, Rocket. This is classic, Joe. I have to share this. And Dana, you weren't in here, but we got the TV on. This is what Joe does to me daily. I've always joked about Joe's facial recognition. It's awful.
It is.
And we got the ABC going, and they're all talking about this raising a royal baby. And, you know, they had the baby yesterday, Meghan Markle and Harry. And Joe's sitting here, and he's like, look at that. He goes, that kid looks like Harry. I look at the TV, and I said, that's because that's Harry as a kid.
I look dead on him. That guy's face has not changed.
Yeah, the reason that little kid looked like Harry was because Harry was once a little kid. That's the footage they're showing. Joe's like, Look at that. That little kid looks like Harry. I look over and I'm like,
man,
that's Harry.
Well, I mean, I thought it was one of William's kids. He's got a kid about that old now, doesn't he?
Joe is just so terrible at looking at people. He sees people's faces. He said, hey, there's that Backstreet Boy. Hey, there's what's her name?
That guy did look like him that day.
Your facial recognition is awful.
When are you getting your glasses, man? That's what you really need.
7 to 10 days from last Friday, so I think.
Is it a visual issue, though? Is it your eyes?
I can't see a damn thing anymore. I should have done this a long time ago. I just thought, you know, back in the day I was high and my eyes were blurry.
Yeah, and that was true because I knew you back in the day and I don't think you needed glasses back then. Here's the thing. I know your vision's deteriorating, but you've always had crap for facial recognition.
All right, I'll go along with that.
So what we'll have to do, Dana, maybe we'll do an after show one time.
We'll have to have a test.
Yeah, after he gets his glasses, we'll hold up celebrities that look similar and we'll see if he knows the names.
I won't know the names, but I'm sure be able to tell you they got nice skin quality.
Yeah. We got to give you more cash. That's coming up for Double Pay Workday. Then at 9 o'clock we'll take caller 19, and we got to talk about something that Madonna's talked about, and she says what has ruined her relationship with her children is cell phones. They don't talk, they don't communicate. She said cell phones are the cause of why she has a bad relationship with her kids. So I want to come back and talk about this and the parents specifically. How has technology ruined your life? Or would you have a better relationship with your kids if they didn't have smartphones? And Dana put this up on Social Survey on Facebook. So we'll do these. We'll come back. 766-9370. Well, isn't that a question? Will you ever win? Yeah, keep listening. Each and every hour, we give away $1,000 at the bottom of the hour. Plus, 7, 9, noon, 2, and 5, we give you a chance to get qualified for the Harley. So will you ever win? I don't know, but your chance is damn dandy. All you got to do is listen. There goes Fleetwood Mac. To this now, and we had a good conversation about this off air today, and the headline is this. I guess Madonna, she sat down with British Vogue, and they did an interview, and what Madonna said was her relationship with her older children began to crumble rapidly after she did one simple thing, and the simple thing was, and I think a lot of parents out there will agree, she bought her phones for her kids as teenagers. So she sits down, she does this interview, and she said her relationship with her daughter, Lourdes, Leon, and Rocco Ritchie. Listen to those kids' names. Lourdes,
Rocco,
Leon,
Ritchie.
And Rocco Ritchie.
Oh, my gosh.
She said their relationship ended with all of them when they discovered texting, social media, and all of the capabilities that phones have. Because of that, she's trying to steer her 13-year-old son, David, away from having a phone.
Oh, he has a normal name.
Yeah, how weird is that?
Yeah, and she's trying to raise him normally.
You know?
Yeah. So, 766-9370, would you have a better relationship with your children if they did not have smartphones? And I want you to really think about this because so many people are dependent on it. And it's their lifeline. It's become their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you would have better conversations, better contact, better communication, better understanding if the kids did not have the technology, tablet or cell phones in their hands? 766-9370. What I said today, and my wife and my son, like if I called them right now and put them on the radio, they would tell you this, as I told my son. I said, this is going to poison you. It's going to poison your brain. And it all started back in 2002 or 2003 when we bought him a Leapfrog.
Yeah.
We gave him the Leapfrog. And from there, the digital dependence started. And it started creeping in, seeping in, and polluting his mind.
But you're talking about an educational device. And you're saying that this basically tainted his mind for forever.
Because that was a good one.
No, it wasn't. It created the digital dependence. And it gave him what I call the addiction or the flavor for needing more digital and more handheld and more LED screen usage. That's what it gave him.
I think it gave my boy the ability to read better and do math better. And I mean, that really, really helped him.
So, and I know you can't read or write.
Not very well.
But how do you think that people before Leapfrog or before smartphones, I'm just saying, just guess if you could, go out on a limb. How did we learn to read and write?
I think it took us longer.
You think it took us longer?
Yeah, I think kids can read at a way quicker. My boy could read and know words and went way faster than I ever did when I was in school. I mean, they had reading in kindergarten.
But yeah, but you're comparing your son to you. Now, what I'm saying,
I mean the level at which they were teaching us in those days.
I disagree. I think reading and writing and all that stuff, it happens from books and it happens with pencils and it happens the same way. The leapfrog just makes it more fun, meaning it's more fun, so they hold on to the device longer. And when you go from a leapfrog, then you go into a Nintendo DS or you go into a handheld, it's all digital dependence. So now
video games and everything are going to be construed as that as
yes,
well?
Yes, they need the LED lights, they need the electrodes, and they need all the soldering boards and all the...
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? I mean, it's 2019. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good for them.
Well, no, but Madonna said that it ruined her relationship with three of her kids. Do you disagree with that?
100%.
So you think it's Madonna and the kids?
Yes.
It's not the devices?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to let them, you know, not talk to you, I guess, or put headphones or earbuds in and you know, not be...
Communicable?
Communicable. Sure, yeah. I guess it could do it. But me and my son bond over that kind of stuff.
Well, you love video games, though. How else is your son going to be able to connect with you if he doesn't learn how to play video games?
That's just one aspect.
Yeah. Dad, I really want to talk to you. Okay, sit down. After Red Dead Redemption, I'll give you a couple minutes. What we're going to do from now till midnight, though, is play video games.
You know what? I also believe it's helped his hand-eye coordination with baseball. I think all this stuff together has, and you know, you'll have people tell you, you need to get him away from that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I kind of push it.
Because I think you lean into it.
I think there could be a real, you know, a real possible money-making scheme for him one day that way. You know,
because of all these video game tournaments and all the college kids and all the college courses.
Who knows what the YouTube fad will be when he's old enough to be doing it. I mean, maybe something else. I mean, who knows?
766-9370, do you think you'd have a better relationship with your kids if smartphones didn't exist? Joe, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. No, I do not think I would have a better relationship with my kids. My kids are 9 and 11. They both have cell phones, but it's about moderation. We have Monday nights where Monday is after school. There's no electronics.
Uh-huh.
None. We have family time. We play games. We go out and shoot basketball.
What do you mean you play games? Like what kind of games? Like board games?
We play board games. We play card games. We go outdoors. We do crafts. We do all sorts of different stuff.
Uh-huh.
So if you have time with your kids, have their phones. That just means you need to do a better job, or let me rephrase that. I need to do a better job and make sure that my kids, that's not their world.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this, because that's a typical, you know, response. Lots of people say, it's the parents' fault, which I agree with that, but when your kids are giving you your time and you're out doing board games or outside or whatever, are your kids a little jonesy? Are they thinking about what else they could be doing because they've already had that scent or that flavor of the digital?
Yep, went through that with my son, my 9-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled the range in. I made him, I limited it. I put in a timer, and he was allowed to have an hour a day until that jonesing went away.
So you had to wean him off his digital dependence.
Hey, did that work?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'm gonna throw that one in the old back pocket to keep too.
For me, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just take advice and I listen to you guys because you guys have your kids are a bit older, and I did it with Dog when he was coming through. And if it sounds like it works, and it did work for you, I like that. I could use that. I'll use that one day.
How often is Digger on the video games and the phone?
He gets to play every day.
Does he have a cell phone?
He does not have a cell phone.
So, but you let him use an old phone for like online or whatever.
Yeah, for apps or games.
So
or whatever.
He's not calling or texting yet.
No.
So, at what age or when is he going to get his own? When are you going to start a plan for Digger?
As soon as he leaves and is out and about without me and M.
So, yeah, but at what age are you going to let him go out and about? Is that 12?
I don't know.
10, 13?
I'm not sure. I think we'll get to that age in a little while. I don't know what age that's going to be. I was thinking 11-ish, 10-ish.
Okay, because I know Joe. Joe always needs ages for things to make sense for Joe.
And I want it to be a bit older before he starts taking off on his own.
Does he have buddies his age? How old is he now, 9?
9, or 8. He'll be 9 in October.
October. Okay, so does he have buddies that have phones?
No.
He has not one friend that has their own cell phone.
Nope.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you one bit.
Wow. 766-9370. I want to go to Christy. Christy, good morning. What's up, Christy?
How are you guys today?
Good.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, I have a comment regarding this. Cell phones has ruined my relationship with my children.
Okay.
I agree with Joe on this. I don't think it has anything to do with the cell phones ruining the relationship. I think if the relationship is kind of tattered a little bit, if you will, from the start, then this is just going to aid in it. I have two teenage boys. They both have smartphones. And when I tell them put the smartphones away, it's not even a question. They look at me and set it down.
Okay. Let me give you this analogy, Christy. You think that human beings or young adults or children are more likely to consume more alcohol if they start drinking alcohol at an earlier age? Meaning, do they develop a tolerance and a dependence if they start consuming alcohol young that will last into their adult years longer or become more dependent on it?
I don't know, to be honest.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Well, I can see where you're going with this, and the obvious answer is yes, but you're comparing smartphones to alcohol.
No, I'm comparing addiction to addiction. It's not an apple to orange thing. It's addiction. It's a stimulation. The younger you start drinking alcohol, the more likely you are to abuse it or to use it longer throughout your life.
I think we've talked about this before, too, is with the whole kids smoking vape devices and things like that.
Yeah.
You take one thing away, and there's always going to be some sort of addiction to replace it. So it's going to be a phone for one kid, alcohol for another, Juul, you know, or whatever
opioid.
It is. Yeah. You know, so it's going to be whatever for each kid. So there's always going to be some sort of addiction. I think kids in general kind of have addictive personalities.
And they're searching for something to be addicted to.
Or adults. Yeah. Everyone wants to be addicted to something.
Well, no, nobody wants to be addicted to anything, but everybody is addicted to something.
But you can pick
something.
Your poison.
Boy, people sure try real hard at it.
Yeah, they do.
Put a lot of work into being addicted.
So with that said, Chris, you don't think there's any correlation?
I do agree to some point that it's not black and white, that there are extreme measures that kids are going to, if you take something away, they're going to look for something else.
Yeah.
So back to, you know, when I tell my kids to put something down, you know, whether it be their PlayStation, whether it be their phone,
whatever,
they listen. So I think that it's just, you know, I've taught them that ever since they were little, you know, hey, what I say goes, the end. So I think there would be extreme measures if I had a kid that really had an addictive personality and I could not pull something from his hand or whatever. But that's not my case, fortunately for me. So it hasn't ruined our relationship at all. In fact, it's brought up some great conversations because none of my children have social media. And it has brought up some great conversations with them having smartphones. Why can't I have social media?
The conversation isn't generated, though, around a topic. It's why can't I have it, Mom? That's like, why can't I have a Coca-Cola? Why can't I have a hamburger? It's not because you're talking about daily events that are generated on social media. It's because you disallow them to have it.
Yeah, but it gives her a chance to tell why.
Well, sure.
And back it up with some, you know, credible knowledge.
But I mean, it's not really a conversation that's topical. It's them begging to have something that all the other kids have that they don't. That's not a conversation. What that is a punishment in their eyes. They're fighting for something that they want. Christy, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Christy.
Let's go to Jamie. Jamie, good morning. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to talk on kind of a different perspective regarding the fact that I work in a group home with at-risk youth, and I've seen a huge rise in at least the 2 years that I've worked there in social media addiction and video game addiction with youth that are under the age of 14 years old. You know, they've become extremely dependent on the instant gratification of social media, as well as violence in video games. So I think that, you know, a lot has to do with parents monitoring everything, and not every parent can, or choose to. However, the increase in violence in the youth and how their brains are developing into, a more judgmental and searching for the next thing kind of.
Yeah, the next instant gratification, the next like, the next heart, the next whatever they're looking for. They want to see tons of views. They want to see lots of nice comments. You're saying that aspect of social media is making them horrible people.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you see that they're convinced that, you know, that they're going to be the next famous person just by using social media, and that they don't need to work on their sister because they think that they're going to get famous off social media. Or, you know, an 11-year-old being obsessed with guns and knives and gore. You know, it's just really unfortunate to see the youth really getting their innocence taken away.
Wow, she's saying that digital dependence is taking away innocence.
Now,
that,
her perspective though is from video games more specifically than just phones,
and because, from kids that don't have parents.
Yeah, and I think that's a big factor in this. And I don't work with at risk youth at all.
Actually, you do with Joe.
I think that having parents in the situation makes a big difference.
I do, too.
Lots of parents, too. They'll hand them the iPad, they'll hand them the phone, they'll hand them the video game controller, and that's the babysitter.
And you can tell those kids.
And yes, you can.
You can tell. They don't respond, they don't say please and thank. I mean, you can just tell. They're kind of zombie kids.
But I've always told you the odd thing with it, social media makes people less social. And I've always told you, too, when kids are that sucked into it, they have no refuge. You know, we always talk about...
You can't hide from it, yeah.
Yeah, back when we were kids and we're bullying kids or we're, you know, throwing rocks at each other or pine cones, you could run home, you could shut the door, and the pine cones, you'd hear them hit the door for a little while, but then the kids would go home, you'd go to bed, and the next day was another day.
I hated that, though, hearing the pine cones hit the door.
Did your pine cones ever stop?
No, but it scared me. I did not like it. Dad was never home to stop
it. Throwing pine cones. My point is,
setting off your Ring
right?
doorbell.
Who's doing that still?
The kids, though, they have no place to hide now. Yeah. And sure, they can turn the phone off. They can close the laptop.
Their life.
It's their life, and it's too hard to resist the temptation. Mm-hmm. So the taunting, the bullying, the whatever, the name-calling, the pinecone throwing, it continues on and on and on because they cannot resist looking at those people that are tormenting them on the digital. So they really have no safe place to go like we did when we didn't have social media.
There's a lot of fairness in that.
I agree with what Madonna's saying. And you can blame, and parents now, or people out there, they always want to blame the parent. And that's a big percentage of it. But what she's saying is true. When you take it to my perspective is why would you give something to a kid that will ultimately make them digitally dependent? I told Joe this today. If I didn't do this job, if I didn't do this show, I would not have probably even a smartphone. I wouldn't be on Facebook. I wouldn't touch one freaking computer.
The first
I have no
four
reason.
Years you did this job, and you and I weren't really teamed up totally at that point in time.
Yeah.
You didn't.
No.
Have a smartphone.
No, I didn't.
At
I
had all. You had a flip phone.
That was after I got rid of the bag phone.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And for a long time, when I first started working, you and I met, I had cable. I had a landline, and I had to buy enough cord, Dana, to go from my home phone to the station. And I would drive I had 46 miles of phone line
goodness.
That was hardwired. I would go to work every day, and I'd have to make sure I didn't drive over to get it tangled, because that's the only way I could communicate.
You're out of control.
Joe, tell her that's a true story.
No,
durable. Very durable line, too, because car tires would be driving over.
You know the phone company where they drive around that big spool of wire? That was me.
Yeah. Mounted on top of the bus stand.
Yeah,
okay.
I would drive to work, and that was my phone line. And then I had to back up and drive home backwards, all the way home to roll it back up. That's how I communicated.
Oh, that must be fun driving backwards down 99.
That's because the guy doesn't use technology.
I didn't, and
still to this day you only do it because we have to do this for what we do for a living.
Guilty.
I guarantee you that if you didn't have to have this, or we didn't have to be on the internet or talk, you wouldn't even have electricity.
Oh,
you would. I mean, I don't think you like even having lights. I mean,
no.
Running water is probably okay for you.
It's I could take it or leave it,
you know.
But electricity, you know, I have that. My wife. I have electricity because my wife, she forces me to work and pay for electricity bills. She wants it. I don't need it. I can start a fire in the house. I can go outside and cook. I don't need electricity. I don't need any of that stuff.
Except you love air conditioning.
Yes,
like, a
does.
Lot.
Air
yes,
conditioning is fantastic. But again, I guess I could go out and lie on a block of ice and roll around in wet grass. Air conditioning, tough to argue.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it would save you money or keep you from technology, I believe you would lay on a block of ice.
I would.
Now, here's the thing. You talk about your wife needing all these things, but I can guarantee you there's these little washers that you can wash clothes in that you pedal on a bicycle to generate the electricity to do
like
it. I feel like you would make your wife do that.
Hey.
You would make her power your house via bicycle.
I'm just going to tell you this.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you this. She's got amazing calves and nice. She's got nice stems. I like them. But I get flustered. I get a little revved up and hot when I think about her pumping my laundry. I'm like, I mean, could you imagine her calves and if she had heels on and she's in there pumping my clothes?
Of course she's doing it with high heels on.
Well, sure.
Well, why not?
Oh, my.
He's getting revved
you
up.
You little chauvinist,
you. Yeah, hey, let's go get a gym membership. No, let's go do some damn laundry.
Make my air conditioning woman.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean you're going to drive to the store to buy butter? Get out back and churn it. I
got a bike for that, too.
Yeah, get out there and bounce my wine out. Make me some grape juice. Could you imagine how fit people would be and how the women would look if they had to go out and they had to make acorn mush and they had to churn butter and pump laundry on a foot lathe?
Yeah, but that means you're doing the same thing. You're going to have to go over to Captain Kenny and Dana's house and borrow that lawnmower Kenny's got. You're going to have to wheel yourself a lawn. I mean, you got a lot of land to wheel lawn without any gasoline.
Hey, your mower's gas-powered, though, isn't it?
Here's the thing, though. You know what? I'll totally get rid of all of today's conveniences. I'll buy goats. I'll buy goats. Here's what happens. You know what happens when that goat doesn't eat grass? You eat him.
Yeah,
I don't have to go to the gas station.
You don't eat goats.
You sure you do.
You don't. You don't.
No, I don't, but I would. If a goat stops eating my grass, I'll eat him.
I'll eat you.
But to go back to the technology, I really do agree with what Madonna says. And I'm not going to say that Madonna's a great parent because I don't know. I'd like to think that she is. But chances are she's probably not because she's successful. She's always touring. She's always making music. She's always dressing up and doing all this stuff, doing interviews, talking about her kids instead of being with them. Might not be the most present parent out there. But what she says, I do believe is true when she says it ruined the relationship. Because anyone out there can shout it's the parent's responsibility. But I truly believe if you wait until a older age to give the phones, to give the technology, you're doing yourself and your kids a service. And you said something, too, this morning, Joe, when we talked about this. You're like, well, I don't want my kids to be dumb. I want them to be plugged in and
I'm telling you, man, that's the one thing I worry about. And I hear, you know, friends of mine and parents talk about, oh, I'm going to keep the screen time out of them. I don't want my kid watching, you know, movies or playing with games. And I think to myself, then all of a sudden, your kid's going to get to be about 13 or 14, and they're going to be out with other kids, and they're going to be so damn naive and unknowing of what's going on. I mean, they're going to be boobed. And you know for a fact they're going to get boobed.
Okay, no,
look at me.
Yeah.
Look at Dana. Think about me, though.
Internet came out when I was like 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I, by far, am the person who has the most mastery over all of these things technological on the show,
and all
these things happened while I was a kid.
Don't pound your chest too hard on that, because I'm really stupid with this stuff.
Well, I know you are.
You have an amazing...
Yeah, but I'm not, and I went to school with it, and I know a lot about it, and she far exceeds my knowledge with it.
Yeah, she does. She's good at it.
A lot of the technology now is even easier to use than when it was coming out, and it's not hard for kids to learn it at all. A two-year-old, my kid, knows how to use a cell phone.
I know.
Without me even giving it to her. She knows how to use
it. They figure it out. It's intuitive.
It's very intuitive. I don't think that your kid would be dumb if you didn't expose them to it.
I see, and that's where I'm at. I don't either. I think by keeping the phones away and lessening that digital dependence at a certain age, and again, I don't know what age it is, but when they show maturity or whatever, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving it to them at a later date. I mean, I didn't latch on to it until I got older. I figured it out. If I could figure out how to use this stuff, anybody can. I'm talking.
That's true.
There's stray dogs out there that know more about the internet and the computer than I do.
They just don't have the opposable thumbs.
Yeah, but then
they're still better at it.
And we are talking about phones. You know, I mean, and
well,
I include
is on a
all
phone.
Of it.
Yeah.
I include games and everything. And I'm going to be honest when I tell you this. I might be pushing my boy a little bit to
go toward it
because he's really, really good at it.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I mean.
Well, and there's a lot of money to be made in the video game field.
I'm thinking about getting him into a tournament. I mean, he's already winning against people that are grown-ups. I mean, he can make some serious... He's not even 10 years old yet.
Here's the thing with video games, though. There's a whole quick twitch reaction thing that you don't get if you play video games later in life. So there is that in terms of how fast you can move
your
fingers.
So it's a reflex skill
But other than that, you can still learn to play the game no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean,
you sure can, but if you've got it learned by the time you're 10 and you're making $1 million by the time you're 12...
I don't know who's wrong or right on it, but just this is just me and my son. We monitor it. He'd have some. He built a computer. He gets his time. It's all been monitored. Get off. Don't do this. We put the phone in impound. I've talked for years about the shakedowns where we'd go in and I'd check his,
those are great.
His history, and I've checked his phone. Here's what I can tell you now that he's almost 17 and he's really, not to toot his horn or mine, he's navigated it well and it was a lot of work. But I believe he would be even better off if he was never, ever exposed to it. And for the people out there with young kids, Dana.
Well, that's why that's my question to you guys.
Don't give it to them.
Because I can tell that, like, my daughter, she loves TV. I have to put a limit on it.
Yeah.
And we used to give her my iPad. It was my personal iPad. And we would let her watch occasionally on it.
Okay.
And she broke it. And for a while, she would ask and ask and ask for the iPad. And I told her, no, you broke it. It's not coming back.
Uh-huh.
And so there's no iPad. And I'm very strict about when we're out in public, there is no iPad. There's no phones.
No digital.
Because I want you to be present. And especially like in restaurant situations where I see a lot of parents just handing a phone or an iPad to their kid to keep
them
quiet.
Attach. Yeah.
That's one of those things that irks me to no end because it's one of those situations where you have to teach your kid how to behave in a restaurant. You can't just give them
when in Rome.
Yeah, and so for me, I wonder when the appropriate age, because I will never buy her a tablet. She's never getting a tablet.
Yeah, but is this because of what the tablet does or because she broke it? Is this punishment?
Punishment at this
point.
You're
mad about it, huh?
I'm irritated because it was, a $600 or $800 thing that she broke, right?
My boy broke a tablet, too, and I bought another one.
No, absolutely. Because the thing is, I saw the dependency happening, and I didn't want her to walk around everywhere with a tablet. I don't like that.
So what's the question?
How old? And this is not talking about tablets, but phones in general, because at some point you have to be able to communicate with your kid.
Yeah. Well, let me ask
you
this.
So when do you give them a cell phone?
Why is it about when do you give it to them or when do you let them use it? Because Digger plays with an old cell phone that we have that's not calling and not texting, but like you, Dana, he's not allowed to have it if we were to ever go out to dinner. He's not allowed to do it out in public if we're going to be out doing stuff. Yeah. So he has these things.
Yeah. You just monitor.
You just take it away from him.
Because I didn't get a phone until I started driving. And, I think the days of that happening are gone.
Probably so, huh?
Because I think kids are a little more, they want to be more independent than that.
And with all the school shootings, with all the freaky stuff on the news, parents want connection.
What was your boy's age when you gave him his first cell phone?
The leapfrog goes back to before he was two, and that's what started it all. For the parents out there, don't buy leapfrog.
I disagree with that completely.
It's educational.
Buy leapfrog.
Come on.
Yeah, but it gives them that taste and that flavor. I think our son was probably, how old is he now? He'll be 17. He was 9 or 10.
Was he?
When he got his first phone. And
that was strictly to communicate with you guys?
Well, yeah, he wanted one, and, grandma and all that, he wanted to talk and all that, and the Apple had the FaceTime, and, he could do all that stuff. And there was a sale or whatever, and we bought it, and we knew that we were going to watch him on it and monitor it. But I want to go back and answer Dana's question, though. With that said, you keep it out of their hands as long as you possibly can.
So, you would only give it to them if they were going somewhere.
You give it to them never. All these people in this world that created this technology did not grow up with it.
Mm-hmm.
We did not need phones. You used to go to school. There was a phone on the wall.
Yeah.
The principal would say, get your ass down here.
You have to
go to
the office. Yeah. And
all the stuff.
The caveman did not need guns.
And all I'm
and before that, we didn't need airplanes, nor did we need cars. But they're awful cool.
Okay. How many times did we have school shootings happen prior cell phones? Were they happening? Yes, but not at the frequency that they happen now. So there was a life to be lived that was very, very, what would you call it, prosperitable without technology, and we've all learned how to use it. My whole thing is the longer you keep it away, the more you control the digital dependence, meaning we use it now, you and I, it's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
The kids treat it as a heart. It's a lung.
Some of them do.
Well, it's an extra appendage.
Yeah, they need it to live. If you keep it away from them longer, they'll use it the way we do, or the way I do, as when needed. Not as, oh my God, I can't breathe. I have anxiety. I can't check Facebook. That's why I say, in my opinion, don't give it to them until, I guess, either you want to or you have to.
And that age is just kind of dependent, I guess, on the situation.
Yeah.
There's two totally different opinions for you right there.
Yeah. I think when you graduate high school, if you want me to stamp a date and a time on it, you graduate high school. You throw the tassel and the hat in the air. Yeah, you graduated.
I know, but then kids are driving before that.
Okay,
you know?
Here's your cedar box, your class ring, and your cell phone. There you go.
Oh, God.
Not the holiday.
No way, man. They wouldn't. They got to be safe.
What did how were we safe before cell phones?
We just ran amok.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes you had to go a little ways before you could get to a phone to check in, to call, to do. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if they didn't have to?
And now you can say, dog, you were right when you used to bitch about where'd all the pay phones go. Well, you know what? Where are the pay phones? That's all you needed back then. Now they chopped them all down and nobody could make calls.
Society has made it necessary to have cell phones.
Now, that part is true. They forced us into it because they want the money.
They've taken our phones away.
They have. We got to give you cash, and we'll do that right after these. We'll come back, and you can text it back to 200-200 for double pay work day. Then at 9 o'clock, your chance to be caller 19 for the Fat Bob Harvest. All right, time to get you paid for double pay work day. Text this code word back to 200-200. Hopefully, you'll pick up $1,000. We do it each and every hour right at the bottom of the hour.
8 o'clock code word is RED, R-E-D to 200-200. For your chance at 1,000 this hour, your 8 o'clock code word is RED, R-E-D, and you got to text that back to 200-200. Good luck.
We were talking about this off air during the commercial break, talking about what Madonna said with her three kids, that they would have a better relationship if they didn't have smartphones. You didn't hear this, Dana, but I was telling Joe, there have been times, and it's been a while now, but my son, he was into computers and games and doing all this stuff. And, you know, he's had a tablet and he's had a phone. There were times when my wife and I said, too much, enough's enough, you're done. And we would impound it for a week. And what I told Joe was, for parents out there that believe that they can monitor it or that they can control it, all I ask you to do a little survey, or not a survey, but a study. Take the electronics away for 1 week or 2 weeks and tell me that you don't have a better son or daughter that's more engaged, that wants to do more with you, that wants to talk more, to share more, to just engage and live life normally, the way I see it normal. You will have an instantly better child. Take it away for a week. It's gone for a week. You'll want to take it away for 2 weeks. Those kids, when they do not have anything, even if they only use it minimally or for homework, you'll see them light up and want to engage and become better humans instantly. Try it. Just take it all away. And if you don't like it because your son is going through withdrawals and you have to tie him to the bed like a heroin addict.
They will for a couple days.
You got to let them sweat it out, and they're going to bounce around, and they're going to cry, and they're going to be real nasty in the beginning. But on that second or third day, you're like, oh, my God, you're back to being human. You're not this digitally consumed zombie that we usually see every day, and it just takes an hour a day, 2 hours a day of video games and all that. A lot of people like to reward their kids. Take it all away and watch what you get. It's honestly, it's amazing.
For weekend camping trips or motorcycle trips or whatever, I used to. It's not this way anymore because he can set it down and pick it up and come and go. But I used to have to start weaning him off a couple days prior before we would go to the weekend because... Just like Dog said, if you got to a weekend and you got to a Friday night and you took off with them and you were gone all weekend with no access to video games or apps, and they got a little sweaty, not cranky and not bitchy, but a little sweaty from it.
Take it away. Go a week, go 2 weeks. They even have camps now for kids that are just so strung out on this stuff.
Wow.
That's
send them
the
up.
Bad ones, though.
Huh?
That's like bad kids, the kids that are really just not putting their face out of it.
No, I think it's just humans. I think there's adults that we work with, or even, you know, Joe. Take your Red Dead Redemption away for 2 weeks. You'll be a better person. Yeah, look at Joe's like, oh my God.
No.
He's like, you got me.
Yeah, don't do that. But I'm telling you, yank it away. Give your kids 1 week and then go for two. And I guarantee you'll throw their phones away, their video games, all that crap. You'll never give it to them again.
Take away someone's pastime and hobby for 2 weeks.
What do you mean pastime and hobby?
I mean, if that's what you're doing, if that's your hobby, I mean, playing video games and whatever, you take it away for 2 weeks, anybody would react differently.
No. What you're going to do, though, is enlighten them by giving them other hobbies or pastimes that they can learn about. They're broadening.
Why can't they have the one they like?
Well, they can, but what you're going to do is expose them and broaden the horizons and give them more. You don't want to shelter your children. You want to expose them as to much as you possibly can.
Why can't you do that while they still have the thing in their hand?
Yeah, you know, the other thing.
That seems to be working just fine for me.
Joe's
right
kicking
now.
And screaming on this. Joe's like, no.
I will never.
No, he's going to start stomping.
I will never subscribe to this philosophy. This is stupid, and it's antiquated, and there's no reason for it, and it's absolutely asinine in this day and age.
I'm telling you, try it.
What about all the kids, too, that are overweight because they don't do anything but digital stuff?
Is mine?
No, yours is not. I'm just asking in general.
He's young.
He's young.
Does he go outside and play?
Yes.
Okay, so then I don't see an issue with it.
He rides his bike. He rides his motorcycle. He plays baseball. We go camping. I mean, we do all kinds of outside stuff.
Okay, take it all away, and they'll do all that stuff better and more often.
No, not going to happen.
This just came to me. I didn't mean to go this long, but this came to me. Do you remember a conversation that I had one time over at the meth lab with this guy that used to smoke just immense amounts of pot?
Oh, I wonder who that was.
I don't know. I forgot that time.
I talked to this guy and I was like, dude, I'm telling you, you'll have a better outlook and a better clarity on life.
Oh, you're gonna video game the pot user.
Addiction's addiction. And I told this guy, I said, hey, I know you think that you're working at a high level and that you're functioning on a high caliber, but you're still stoned. And Joe would quit smoking for a couple days or a week. And he's like, I'm telling you, bro, I'm real grumpy and I feel better when I smoke. And I said, let it go for a couple months. Let it go for 2-3 months. And Joe's like, no, pot makes me better. And then lo and behold now, Joe.
What do you tout all the time?
Do you feel better now that you're sober?
Oh, I think we can all see that I feel better now that I'm sober.
Okay.
However, I had more THC running through my body than an actual pot plant.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I was probably making myself sick with the amount I was consuming.
Uh-huh. But back then, because you wanted it, you weren't going to hear it. You said, my life could never be better than it is right now on marijuana. But when you quit, and you're laughing.
So many times.
Now that you're sober.
I would never in my life ever again become addicted to pot, ever.
Yeah. And again, I worry about you with your addiction to video games. I looked out for you once.
Well, you did have a funeral for what's his name.
You know what, Dana? That was really sad.
I don't even remember his name.
Arthur Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Arthur Morgan. Sorry.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, we had a funeral for a digital character on a video game.
He affected a lot of folks. I wasn't the only one.
We got more money coming up for Double Pay Workday. Plus, we're going to get you qualified at 9 o'clock. Caller 19 for that Fat Bob Harley Davidson. Here's Boston on the river. There we go, on a Tuesday.
I was freaking out. I was like, what did I hit?
I didn't have the microphones on. We'll give you a chance to be caller 19 here for the 2019 Fat Bob after we give you a Taste Great update. A couple things we got to get to, and I think these are all pretty decent. I know Joe doesn't. Dana, do you ever have protein shakes?
I do on occasion, yeah.
Yeah, because you're working out, training for a triathlon and all that stuff.
I recently replaced them, though, with like chocolate milk. It's supposed to be good for muscle repair and stuff.
Oh, better than, what do they call that stuff? Creatine or what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever the...
Plus, chocolate milk tastes good.
Yeah. If you do drink a protein shake after working out, a 2018 study said all you're doing is getting fat.
Ooh. And Joe, you need some of these.
I know, right?
Yeah. Joe needs a protein shake before working out and a protein shake after.
Yep.
Protein supplements as a snack in between meals is making it a lot harder for you to lose weight.
I actually believe that.
That's what they're saying.
Huh.
Funny that you mentioned that because my mother-in-law loves drinking these, and you would think that you wouldn't eat after you drink them, but you do. That's why you're getting fat, is because it doesn't do anything to satiate you.
Yeah, you're doing is thinking
you're
getting full.
You're just adding more calories.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, God. Basically, it's making you hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Hold on to this one. Australian mother allegedly found her 2-year-old daughter with an unwrapped condom in her mouth while the two were at McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
Out of town.
Identified only as Annie, the woman said she'd taken her daughter to a McDonald's in Queensland as a treat. The young child went off to the restaurant's outdoor play area and returned 15 minutes later to show her mom the unopened, or I'm sorry, opened, unwrapped condom that she had unearthed.
Gosh.
Oh,
she
God.
Said, "Mummy, look," and started to put it in her mouth. Oh. The mom said, I was like, oh, and I smacked it out of her hand.
Ooh.
And the condom that was open flew underneath the table. And this is what the woman's saying. And other people that were there at the restaurant did see the open condom. And the daughter told her that the condom, which the child had thought was a balloon, was unpackaged when she found it. And the woman notified staff about it. They reportedly apologized and told her that someone may have left it in the play area as a joke.
Oh,
dude, yeah, really?
Not funny.
They were just teasing around with that.
I want you or any parent out there to think about, especially when you're at a restaurant, your kid walks up and they've got an opened condom. And they're going to put it in their mouth.
God. I mean,
Rikey.
That is, I can't even put words to that. What would you do? That's terrible.
I would flip out. I mean, I don't even know what you would do with that. You got to take them to the doctor and get them tested to make sure they didn't ingest anything. I mean, God.
And did you say that this was found in the ball pit?
Yeah, it was at the play yard. here's the thing, though, Dana. Look, here's the thing. If that were to happen to Joe, Digger would run up and go, "Dad, look what I found." And Joe would go, "What's that?"
Get one of them in and everything you can you?
Yeah.
Well played, good sir.
Dairy Queen is renaming its mini Royal Blizzard the Royal Baby Blizzard.
Ooh.
To celebrate the arrival of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's son. As you know, they had the baby yesterday. So Dairy Queen, relevant as ever in 2019.
Yeah. That's right.
They now have the Royal Baby Blizzard, I guess, at select Dairy Queens. Run, do not walk.
Oh, I'm running.
Yeah.
What is it going to taste like?
Like a blizzard?
Yeah.
They don't have a royal flavor.
You eat it and you're like, wow, this tastes like what I had yesterday.
Well, they got multiple flavors of blizzards, don't they?
Yeah, I didn't look at what's in it. Just junk. I don't know. If you like to leave restaurant reviews on Yelp or on Google, which I do, it says here, according to a study, if any time you go into a restaurant, okay, and you dislike your experience, look outside to check the weather. If it's raining, you're not going to enjoy your food or your experience as much. And they found at Ohio State University, people leave awful, way worse reviews on a rainy day when they're eating inside than when the sun's out.
Unbelievable. I wonder why. It must be raining every day when you go to dinner then, huh?
Think of how cranky he is when it rains.
I mean, I think about how cranky he is when it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I just think about how cranky he is when he goes to I just think about how cranky you are.
Yes.
You know when you walk into the grocery store and they have that thunder shower speaker that rains on the vegetables?
I love thunder that.
Thunder shower. Yeah,
have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I can't believe they put actual sound to it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and it rains.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go when I'm at a restaurant, I hear that.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Dana, get ready to defend your species.
Oh, my! Like the female species?
Yes.
Okay.
No, the millennial species.
Oh, that species, okay.
Millennials are killing meat.
What?
Millennials are more likely to be concerned with their overall health. That means they're not eating meat as much as they used to. And in fact, they're killing meat, and they do not like it. And supposedly, millennials...
Is it meat already dead?
Well,
I kind of thought so.
They're killing it off because they all want plant-based meals, and plant-based sales are on the rise, growing 11% per year, even though 26% of millennials are already vegetarian or vegan. That's not enough.
26%, though?
That's what it says. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a really high amount.
That's a lot. A quarter of millennials are...
vegetarian or vegan.
Wow.
And the other stat that I got to throw in there, unhealthy.
No.
Here's the thing, millennials. Try to kill the meat off. You know what happens? I'll eat you. You trip, you fall.
You are so weird about this cannibalism of vegans and...
He wants to eat someone who eats plants.
It's not really...
It's so weird.
Is that so you can get your plant and your meat in one sitting?
Yes. Everybody thinks that, oh my God, dog's a cannibal. No, I'm an omnivore. If I eat a millennial that doesn't eat meat, I'm an omnivore.
Technically.
I don't think that's what is his name, Jeffrey Dahmer said. He just ate people.
Yeah,
that's what
just
cannibals
like
do.
Yeah, but back then he was a meat-eating cannibal because no one ate plant-based stuff back when he did it.
Yeah, very few anyway.
Oh, nobody ate vegetables back in the day.
Well, not like they do now. We got to get caller 19. Text it back. I'm sorry, call. 766-9370. If you're caller 19, we'll get you hooked up for the Fat Bob 2019 Rockland Folsom Harley Davidson. Caller 19 right now. We'll come back after Ozzy. We'll get you qualified. Woo! Joan Jett, 93 minutes nonstop commercial free. Back tomorrow, Lickus and Win Wednesday. This is what we've got. Pairs of tickets for you to go check it out. May 18th, Cal Expo Grandstands, presented by Cycle Gear. You get to check out the legendary Sacramento Mile.
Oh, yeah. What a fun little event that one is.
Yeah. So, ideas for tomorrow for Lickus and Win. Hint, hint, wink, wink, Sac Mile tickets. And for people that don't know what Sac Mile is, that is motorcycle racing on the dirt circle there at the Cal Expo Grandstands.
That's speedway bikes, flat track speedway bikes, man. Mm-hmm. And they are awesome. They're about, I think top speeds get up over 100 miles an hour on some of them guys.
Back stretch into the first turn, probably 110.
I mean, they rip it, dude. Yeah. It is really, really cool. I got some ideas I could possibly, I was thinking outdoor summer motorcycle stuff.
Okay.
Maybe I could do Nitro Circus and motocross and, you know, combination of all of it.
Data in there just shaking her head. Joe, something just hit me when I said hint, hint, wink. I was just thinking maybe something a little more...
American?
Well, no, I was going to say less refined. Yeah. How about just motorcycles?
Yeah.
All motorcycles?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I was thinking about summer excursions.
I was thinking motocross and flat track and, you know.
Well, wouldn't that encompass all those things if you did motorcycles?
Yeah, but when you say all motorcycles, I'm afraid they're going to ask me engine stuff. Yeah.
Well, don't do engine stuff, people. Yeah. That stuff's boring.
It's terrible. And I guess for me, if Joe is going to think about
it. I will. I'll do it.
Motorcycles, then what I'll do is the opposite of motorcycle. I'll add additional two wheels.
Uh-oh.
I'll do all things cars or anything goes.
Yeah.
If you want to go out tomorrow to check out Sacramento Mile, we'll do it for Lickus and Win Wednesday.
Does that mean Dana is going to do either school buses or semis?
Yeah, I'm totally going to be here tomorrow.
A few more wheels.
I'm doing big rigs.
You can call in from your vacation.
You're
not going to be camping.
Yeah, Dana's category tomorrow is she's not here. So I'll be back tomorrow for Lickus and Win Wednesday. We'll give you pairs of tickets to go check out the Sac Mile. Right now, we got cash for you. $1,000. Text it back to 200-200. And you'll pick up money for double pay workday.
Your 9 o'clock code word is credit. C-R-E-D-I-T to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, your 9 o'clock code word, credit. C-R-E-D-I-T. And text that back to 200-200. Good luck.
93 minutes, nonstop commercial free continues. Listen to this. Scorpions. Think of CCR, 93 minutes, nonstop commercial free. We are done. Monica Lowe, she is back in. Her and Derek back from vacation, so that means more cash coming up. Then at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, caller 19 for the 2019 Fat Bob Harley Davidson. Back tomorrow, Lickus and Win Wednesday. Tickets out to Sac Mile. And producer Dana, she's on vacation for 3 days. She'll be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we're going to miss you, Dana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys took vacation around Easter. Oh.
Well, yeah, we did. Because
I missed you then, too.
Yeah.
I did.
I didn't even know you were here, Dana. Did you have a baby or something? So, we'll be back to normal on Monday, but tomorrow is a Lickus Win Wednesday. Don't forget cash each and every hour, bottom of the hour, and 3 more chances to get qualified for the Harley. Have a fantastic Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us today. Enjoy your afternoon, and we will talk to you. Oh, Dana, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Oh, we never got to the Mother's Day
piece. I understand.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the greatest thing your mom ever taught you.
Oh.
Oh, that's good.
And the reason I wanted to do that is because Joe's mom taught me something really, really cool.
Oh, man. There it is.
Oh, man.
But yeah, have a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
And let's keep the mothering to two children.
I mean, I took a test yesterday just to make sure, and it's not happening ever. So.
Oh, clean?
Good.
Yeah, we're good to go. I did the random pregnancy test for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go off on a little vacation and come back with number 3.
Ooh, thank you.
Monica Lowe's in next, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Lickus Win Wednesday.
Play nice.